Morning. It's amazing to me to think this is, it's 10 years that since we first started Hope's Treasures officially. It started a little before that with some survey work and going to conference and stuff. But so this is actually technically the 11th Orphan Sunday we've had, if you count each year. So the first one was in 2007, and it's just so exciting. We wanted today to be a celebration of all that God has done. So not like, wow, isn't Hope's Treasures awesome, or isn't our church amazing, but isn't God amazing? And what a cool privilege it is to be used by him to care for these children. When we think of Hope's Treasures, we often think in three categories. So I'm going to focus on the first one, which is called Hope Inside. So inside our body, what can we do to encourage people for orphan and foster care in all different levels of active engagement? So I wanted to focus on that, and then later someone will talk about Hope at Home, which is like home in our community, and Hope Abroad. So for today, I've been so encouraged. Our family has so personally been touched by this church and the way that you supported us. For those of you who don't know, we have a total of 4 adopted children, 3 of whom came before Hope's Treasures ever started, but we try through Hope's Treasures to create what we call a culture of care. So if you undertake fostering or adoption or whatever, any sort of aspect of that, we want our church to surround you and support you in that. And we want it to be not just at the time of placement that the child enters your home, but ongoing. And I can say without a doubt, we have received ongoing care in so many different ways that it makes me emotional when I think about it. And I don't know if we would even have adopted our last child had I not had this wonderful body of support, the support network. So thank you for all of that. And this support could be something simple as bringing a meal to a family to someone who took in a child, or it could be, you know, as broad as bringing a child yourself into your own home. But it is just spread, and so many people, I think pretty much everybody in this church has been involved in some way, shape, or form with meals or rides or just being a mentor to our kids, having conversations with our kids, whatever it is. So all of us who have taken the child in, thank you for your involvement there. Actually, I wanted to start one thing. So what we did is, as we were looking through the archives and wanted to say, what has God done these past 10 years? I had so much fun looking through these old papers. It happened to coincide with us cleaning out our office at home, so it was really good timing. And I found some just really cool things that you'll see throughout the morning. But this one is a blast from the past. This is something our church did, a clothing collection for Jeff and Rosemary Eli's grandchildren. Can I see a show of hands? Who remembers Jeff and Rosemary? Yes. Remember, they had 3 grandchildren who were in foster care, and they had a lot of needs. So this is something our church did. We did a clothing collection and said what kind of things that they needed. It's just a little touch of one of the many things our church has done over the years. The main thing I want to focus on this morning, though, is the families, all the families who have taken in children into their homes since the beginning of Hope's Treasures 10 years ago. So we're going to highlight those families now as a way to celebrate that fact. So the first would be John and Jacqueline Heilman, who were up until about, I don't know, within this past year, were very much an active part of our church. And they took in, I don't know how many foster children over the years, maybe up to as many as 20. And ultimately, they adopted 2 beautiful daughters, Nora and Tessa. And we were very much a part of that process with them. The next was Jeff and Tina Hill. And they, through their involvement in Christ Home, through Hope's Treasures, got to know a girl named Courtney, and they did adopt her. It was a bit of a bumpy road, but they were very much inspired by Hope's Treasures and what we stood for here. The next picture we have is little Josie. I think we all know little Josie. This is Josie when he was only 18 months old before he even came to America. Faith and Chris are with an organization that cares for children who need medical needs met in a more developed country. So this is him at 18 months old. And when he came, can you believe it? He was only 21 months old at the time he came. And he was so tiny, I remember. But here's a picture of him now and just how well he's thriving with Faith and Chris. And we just celebrate all that they have done for him and how much the church has surrounded their family and supported them. The next picture, as we learned in our trivia thing, I think the first family to be inspired to adopt from Hope's Treasures was the Davis family. And who do you think that is? So this is little Misha when he was 6 years old. This is one of the first pictures they got of him, missing tooth and everything. Look how cute he is. He was 7 years old when they brought him home. And here's a picture of their family now. Isn't that awesome picture? I think Brittany took that picture, right? You want a good photographer, see Brittany. Yeah. But isn't that awesome? So that's their family. So we celebrate them. And the next picture, this is our church. Before they went back to get Misha and bring him home, our church did a clothing drive. So look how cute they are, Tanya, Jeff, and Colleen, collecting clothes. I don't remember how many bags of clothes we sent. It was a lot. So we were able to support the orphans in Russia when they went to pick up Misha. So very cool. Next family is near and dear to my heart. This is us. These are not green aliens from outer space. These are. This was the very first moment we met our new son, Josiah. Gave him a lollipop, trying to make him happy and not feel overwhelmed. So that's our family at the time of adoption. That was August 2015 when Josiah was 3 1/2. And now this is Josiah when he's 5 1/2 now, and that's our family, our brood. So thank you all for all you've done for us, including the three girls from years ago. And then another family is our own Dustin and Ashley. This is them when they were younger. And it wasn't all that long ago when they were officially adopted by Ed and Sherry. And here they are as a family, picture taken outside our church. So I know a lot of us had a hand in that, whether through prayer or practical means or celebrating at a party, whatever it is. So very exciting. And I don't have a picture for this, but just special notes since Hope's Treasures formed 10 years ago. Noah was adopted by Brad. And I also want to note that, Hudson is with us as well. So that wasn't directly impacted by Hope's Treasures, but we, of course, celebrate him, and we're very excited to have him and Lydia as part of our family. So I did want to share a statistic. Excuse me, I'm getting old here. So in the United States, there's about 400 children in foster care. And of these, 120,000 are eligible for adoption. And just one, if this was interesting, if just one church in three, so just one church in three churches would adopt just one of these children out of foster care, all the adoptable children in foster care would have a forever home. Isn't that amazing? Let that sink in. Not even just one for every church. One in every three churches would take in one child. Every child in foster care who is adoptable would have a home. Worldwide, there are 40 to 50 million orphans who are adoptable. When you consider how many Christians there are in the world, all of these orphans could be cared for if just 6% of born-again Christians would adopt. Like, these are amazing statistics. So since Hope's Treasures began 10 years ago, and I'm not counting those who were previously adopted before Hope's Treasures, so in the past 10 years, from Hope families, there have been 7 children adopted into Forever families. 7 children, plus Josie, who is being well cared for right now by Faith and Chris, too. And for a church of 100 adults, that's, like, amazing. So that's what we're here to celebrate, God moving in the hearts to allow that to happen. Just so cool.
So Faith and I are going to talk about Hope at Home. So isn't it amazing what God has done as far as within our body with bringing kids into this family? It's really something when you see them all growing up and you see their initial pictures and now you see them. It's amazing. Anyway, so within our community, most of us knew of or knew somebody in some way involved at Christ Home, but we really didn't have a way of getting in there that we could easily figure out. It wasn't until Rob and Renee James came to our church. They were cottage parents at Christ Home, and they brought their own kids and all the cottage kids, and that was our first real breakthrough into Christ Home. So the year that they were here, we wanted to do something for them as a family and as a cottage. And what we did was we did Christmas stockings. Members of the church took each one of the kids and we made individual stockings for them for what their likes and dislikes were. And in response, we got a thank you note. And you can see some signatures on there. There's Dustin and Keith is over there. They were part of that initial effort that we made. So originally we were trying to focus on just large group events at Christ Home because we wanted our family members to be involved too. It didn't work so well because most of the events that we tried to do were on Saturday when a lot of the kids do visitation with their families. We did do a couple things though. So the first one we did was a winter picnic and we had an Olympic theme. We had medals, we had games, It was really very creative. And then we did a spring carnival. And again, we had a lot of our own family members attend, but at some point, it was more us than Christ Home Kids. So the last one we did was just recently, we participated in their fall festival. We asked for volunteers to come and help with parking and things like that. So that was one of the last really large event that we were involved with. So we were not sure exactly when we first invited them to the hayride, but they have been coming every year, and I don't know how many were there yesterday, because I wasn't there myself, but there were kids there from Christ Home. How many? 15 kids from Christ Home. So I hope that you all, if you were there, you got a chance to interact with them and to meet the cottage parents, because they need a lot of support too.
Like Joyce said, we originally started with large group events, and then a shift started to happen as we wanted to support the house parents. We realized that there's such a turnover of the house parents because it's such a hard job. I was able to become friends with some of them personally too, and Chad and Alicia at a time, and that was really encouraging to hear them and hear their story, but again, they moved on to something else. So in that understanding, we started about 4 years ago giving appreciation gifts to the house parents every Valentine's Day. So every Valentine's Day for the last 4 years, we have gone to each cottage and given all the host parents and the relief parents Valentine's Day gifts, and that was just a really great in and an avenue to start supporting each cottage. And then because of this new sense of focus, where we started to really, again, focus on the house parents, we started now with smaller gatherings. So now twice a year, what we generally do in the fall and in the spring is we take a team to each cottage. And sometimes it's more frequent, but we at least twice a year will go in and do a craft with the kids, or we'll do dinner. We'll bring dinner and we'll just try to interact with them, talk with the host parents, and just see how we can support them and love on them. And another thing that we do is we bring meals to them, because who doesn't love a meal ready made? Because these host families, like the parents, they have to do everything. They have to go home and take care of their own stuff, and then the primary during the week, they cook and they clean and they do everything. So we have opportunity for you to do this as well, but we have meals that we make for them, and we will go in and have cleaning days too to help them. And so finally, over the years, we've gotten a lot of thank you cards for the different things that we've done. So one thing we wanted to highlight, I think that's what this is. Here we go, in blue, Ed and Sherry gave us a thank you card. They were the parents, the house parents of the Teen Mom Baby Home. It's funny, we talk about connections and what God brings over time, but Sherry was my substitute teacher when I was at Philmont teaching and I went to Transnistria. So I think maybe twice too, two different years she did that for me. But God just gave us ins, and here is a, we had an event as a church where we went in and painted their basement. I think a lot of you would remember that was a pretty big event that we had. So there's also various teen moms have graduated from the teen mom home, and we've given graduation presents for them. And there's some different thank you cards for that. And finally, we had a thank you card from Dustin for clothing that we had given him in the past.
So I'm going to make 7 turn into 9. So Phyllis mentioned there were 7 people, but actually there's 2 more. And I actually want to bring one up. Dustin, if you come up here. Dustin is 8. And he has, Keith, I'm all confused now. And he has a twin brother named Dustin, who's 9. Tom, come on up. And there's actually 2 other boys who were among the 9 people that our church has had the opportunity to kind of touch some people's lives. But what I want to do is I just want to ask, I want to do a brief interview, really simple questions, just for a few minutes. So I'd like Keith to say, how in the world did he come through these doors in the beginning and how God brought him to this church? And then I'm going to ask him, who in this church connected with him? We have a hint here, okay? And then how's that affected his life? So can you tell a little story?
Yeah. So as you saw, Rob and Renee, they were talking about, came to Hope. So that's kind of how I came to Hope. Probably unwillingly at that time, but so just through the years, you know, Rob and Renee came and left, and I'm not good at this kind of stuff. Yeah, so it's kind of funny. Me and Tom weren't that close initially. Him and my brother, Dustin. But anyway, yeah, so him and Dustin were more close. I ended up leaving Christ's home when I was 18 and moved in with Tom. And
so when you moved in with Tom, did he make you pay thousands of dollars? Did he make you clean and cook all the time?
He didn't make me.
Right. But for you, really, what did Tom become in your life?
My dad.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the opportunity we have, right? That's really what it is. Somebody, and what a dad is somebody who puts the child's best interest above their own. Somebody who's willing to sacrifice for them. So now we're going to put the onus on him now. Right. Going to make him cry, okay? Come on up here. And hey, just a quick reminder, we're going to keep praying for Tom. I mentioned about his health. I'm going to pray for that at the end of our service. But more importantly, this guy walks through the door. What prompted you? What is going on in your heart and your head that allowed you to kind of reach out to he and his twin brother?
There was a lot on that walked through the door.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
A whole group.
And but God always does in our lives is that he understands what we need. And during that time, Dustin and Keith, we developed a relationship. So we figured out how to drive. That was pretty exciting. But more importantly, God has given me a understanding of mentoring young men. And when I thought I was done, he gave me the two best ever. So yeah, I consider Keith like my son. I always asked him if it's okay, and he always says for sure. And so, yeah, it's cool. It's cool pouring your life into someone.
Are you scared?
No, I was pretty excited. Okay. Because he's
like a once-a-month mentor.
But he's a pretty unique, talented person. And I saw a lot of myself in him, so it was really exciting for me to be able to do that. So.
Let me pray for you guys. Let me pray for these guys. But God, I thank you for Dustin and Keith and Tom. I thank you for the special relationship that you designed. Lord, this wasn't something either of them sought out, but Lord, that you forged them together. Lord, we pray right now for Tom, Lord, as he continues to struggle with the health situation and some upcoming news that he's trying to process and figure out what's next for him. Lord, I thank you that he has two sons who care for him deeply. And Lord, that they have a person that they can call dad who cares for them deeply. I thank you for this relationship and the way that they support each other. In your name, amen.
I'm not sure how to go on after that. Let's talk about that. So you've heard a bit about hope inside and hope at home. The third aspect is hope abroad. And, you know, it was one of the real challenges when we were initially getting formed was we want to be involved in international orphan care ministry. How does we as a small church do that? And, you know, not have it as just a one-off trip, but something that could be an ongoing part of our church. And that did take some time and some energy. We thought it would first occur in Russia, actually. For those who may recall, we sent Joy Gross and Tina Hill to Russia in 2008 to check out a small orphanage there that we could enjoy potentially a partnership with. It looked promising. But then after they returned, shortly after, the orphanage was shut down. And so we went back to praying for how, you know, what God might have in store for us. And in that time period, Gail Eimer told us about a cousin of hers named Carl Green, who was a pastor of a church out in Downingtown for many years called Calvary Fellowship. And he's gone on to a ministry where he trains pastors overseas. And he had been doing training in this country called Transnistria, or this area of Transnistria, with pastors, and found that there was this problem with orphanages and orphans and the need for care. And I came upon this guy named Mark Fischeski, who had set up this organization called Help the Children. So this looked promising, and so we began to check it out. First, we had to say, where's Transnistria? So if you go on the map here, on the next slide, and up there, there's a red circle. So off to your left is sort of the countries we in America start to recognize, like, you know, Germany and, you know, Czech and Austria. You have to go pretty far into Eastern Europe to get over to Moldova. And even within that red circle, there's only a very little sliver of land that's Transnistria, which is a self-proclaimed independent republic. They're only really recognized by Russia as an independent country. So the organization is called Help the Children. And on the next slide, we met Mark, the founder, and Anna, who at that point was a very new employee. And they came to the U.S. in early 2010. And they were doing a swing and meeting with churches, and we asked them to stop by. And we were really inspired by their vision, you know, for working with orphans in Transnistria and really transforming their part of the world. And while speaking with them, we learned about this orphanage called Chobruchi that we could possibly start to partner with. So we took a step of faith and sent out a group in 2010. On the next slide, you'll see our initial, you know, initial promotional materials, I guess, you know, including the fact sheet to talk about the trip. Hard to believe that was 7 years ago. It was an exciting first trip. Since then, we sent teams in 2011. That was, again, in combination with Calvary. And then in 2012, we did our first trip on our own. And then in 2013, 16, and 17, so six times total. Each time we've been able to visit with the children at Chobruchi and really establish that partnership that we had been looking to right from the beginning. I could spend a whole lot of time here just talking about construction projects and showing pictures. This is a short list, believe it or not. But, you know, really cool things like, you know, bringing hot water to them. I can't tell you you know, how gratifying that was for the children. Did I do that, Steph? Did I hit that? So if we go on to the next slide, we have a couple of pictures and some before and after. We have painted and repainted playground equipment in Chobruchi blue, as we call it. So find it at your local Sherwin-Williams. And then on the bottom, exterior walls of buildings and sidewalks and all types of, you know, hard concrete projects we've paid local contractors to do. But really the purpose in going is to spend time with the children. That's not really to do the projects. The projects help us to get in the door. And, you know, whether it's through the Bible lesson dramas or the games or the crofts, as one might say, or just hanging out with the children, we've been able to do that and really share God's love with them and remind them, you know, that he is a light in their darkness. Next slide is a girl named Nastia. You might have noticed her photo in the video. And Nastia is a girl that we first met in 2010, and she's here holding a picture of herself. And that's really important. You know, the children in the orphanages, they don't have a place necessarily to keep sentimental things. So, you know, we do try to do pictures every year, and because they are seem to be quickly lost or taken away by, you know, people who are mean or whatever. So it was really, you know, neat always to have them do pictures. And in 2011 and 12, Tina Hill had come along on the trip, and Tina made an impression on Nastia that I didn't realize until last year, because last year Nastia came up to me with this picture of her and Tina from at least 4 or 5 years ago. And I was blown away that she had this picture, and she hadn't just kept it, she'd treasured it. She'd obviously protected it. It was important for her, and Tina had not been back since, you know, in that 4 years. And she came up to me and said, you know, and how's Tina? Where's Tina? Where is she? She remembered Tina's name, you know, from that long ago. So our being there and being there year after year has a significant, you know, a significant impact. Up next, I'll highlight two programs here from Help the Children. The first is the transitional care program. As you probably saw in the video, there are some of the statistics. A real issue is as children age out of the orphanage when they're 16, 17 years old and are not really part of any governmental support program anymore. A lot of times they don't really have any life skills, and they are unfortunately a breeding ground for, you know, the organized criminal element within the country. And so Help the Children early on identified this as a need and set up a transitional care program that kids have to apply to get into. They have to agree to live by a certain set of rules, and then they are taught life skills and, you know, how do you live life. So this has been a really wonderful program over the years. We always try to spend time with the students who are in this program when we go, whether it's, you know, sitting down and having dinner with them or going bowling, you know, whatever it may be. The next slide is the foster care program. You've probably heard us highlight this a few times over the years. The number of families here are, in fact, sponsoring children. This slide has the details on the program, but essentially sponsorships are broken up into fourths, and it's $35 a month for each fourth. And that pays a family to take in a child. And they have really worked within the local church community within Transnistria to identify families that can take in children. And sometimes they're even putting on an extra room onto a home so they can take children into a home and out of an orphanage. One of the side benefits if you go on the Transnistria trip is you get to meet a child that you sponsor. And so when they're very young, until they, you can see them grow up over the years, as we got to see with Galia. I do have some, there are six children who are in need of sponsorship at the current time. I do have some slips of paper on I notice our very crowded table in the back of things to sign up for, but I'll also be available afterward if you have an interest in potentially sponsoring a child, seeing a picture and some biographical information about the child, see me afterward. So Transnistria 2018, we are indeed planning to go back, and we're very excited about that. We've already started to meeting about it. The dates we're looking at are April 12th to 22nd, that's ish. You know, we're still trying to iron that out, but that's roughly the time frame we're looking at. It is after Easter, not over Easter this year, which is helpful. And be praying for that. You know, there's a lot of logistics to get that settled. There are new ministry opportunities besides just being at the orphanage. We've found out over the last couple of years some other things that we might be able to do, and we're really seriously exploring this year. So one is taking part in an English club or organizing an English club with local college students. There's a Campus Crusade college ministry there that is doing that. That's something where we could potentially help out. There's women's ministry, so a lot of the village churches, the women are very busy. The woman's life there is, you know, very much filled up, you know, taking care of the home, and it's a hard life, and so they don't have a lot of opportunity to fellowship. So sometimes, you know, church, you know, groups like ours can come in and help provide a context for them to get together and fellowship with one another and hear somebody speak and encourage them. So 28 from our church. You heard, you know, 21 earlier have been on Hope's Treasures. There have been 28 from our church that have gone to Transnistria over the years. I'll ask those who have gone if you could quickly raise your hand, please, and look around the room. So you're sitting near somebody who's been to Transnistria before, and certainly they would be happy to tell you about their experience and what God has done that they have seen. Who will be number 29 or number 30? I don't know. I ask you to pray for that, and certainly let me know if you're interested. Like I said, we're beginning the plan now, and we're really excited for it. So one final story here. About Katya and Bruce. The one picture where Bruce is wearing the red sweatshirt was in the video. Another one I found in the archives. The first one, actually, the other one where he's in the blue, that was, I think, from his first year at Chabruchi, which was before we went, 2009. Bruce and Katya, you know, happens, he sort of connected with a child and, you know, for whatever reason. And so Bruce and Katya, he met, you know, he met her for the 2 years. And then Calvary stopped going to Chirbuchi because we were going, they were going to another orphanage. And so, but Bruce would always send me a little gift to bring along to Katya. And then Katya would always send me a little drawing or something to bring back to Bruce, you know. So I was like a courier pigeon. But it was really cool to see. And what we also saw being at Chirbuchi every year was Katya grow and, you know, become a real leader and clearly recognized as the smartest student in the orphanage, even before she was one of the oldest students. She, very bright, was always, we'd go to these award ceremonies and now for this Katya. And everybody sort of recognized Katya. So it was really cool this past week. If you go to the next slide, I got an email from Bruce, and it was a picture of Katya, and she's in the center there. And the email's from Anna over in Tiraspol with Help the Children. Hi, Bruce. Just wanted to share a quick note with you. This girl, Katya, from Chirbuchi Orphanage, lives with me now. I live at Roman's house. We rent it for Help the Children temporary, my mom and five girls. When I showed Katya some orphanage pictures, she was so excited talking about you. She is a very sweet girl, very responsible. She's in the program now. She is saying a big hello to you. Bruce's email to me was like 7 or 8 words. Imagine my joy. Praise the Lord. And I started to tear up, you know, because this is somebody that, you know, God ordained them to meet, and really they made a connection. And, you know, Katya is now in a transitional program and not headed toward a life of, you know, trafficking or whatever, in part because someone took the time to spend time with her. So, you know, really excited, you know, to share with what's happened over the years. I'm confident there are more stories out there. I have no reason to believe that in 2025 we wouldn't be able to look back another 7 years to 2018 in a trip and say, gee, remember when we met Anastia or Katya in 2018? Look at them in 2025, and look what God's doing in their life. Look what's happened. I believe that. I really do, that's out there, and you know, trust for that. So if you're interested in participating, either in April, or if you're interested in learning more about a foster child sponsorship, see me after the service. I'll be in the back and be happy to share with you. Steve?
So I just wanted to... Brian to stay up here for 1 minute. So Brian was somebody who God worked in his heart on the first trip and has continued to lead these trips. And I know today is really about what God has done, and we don't want to elevate one person or another over that. And I'm not trying to do that here with Brian, but I just want to pray for you, Brian, and thank Brian for his leadership in this area. And then I'm also just going to pray for a couple things that are going on here at the church right now. And also one thing I want to mention to you is today is this upcoming Sunday's Orphan Sunday, but today is actually the Sunday for the persecuted church. And there's an overlap there. Many of the kids that we pray for are in countries that the church is very persecuted. So I want to pray for Brian. I want to pray for the persecuted church, and I just want to pray for a few things here at our church. God, I thank you for Brian, and Lord, I pray you'll sustain him and his family. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities they've had to go on these trips and the way that you've used that in their lives. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to give them joy in their service, give them wisdom about the future for these plans, and Lord, I thank you for the opportunities we have to continue in Chirbuchi. Lord, I do pray for the persecuted church this morning, and Lord, there's so many churches in different countries, even where Phyllis and I have lived in the past, that are right now don't have the freedom to go and worship you openly without some fear or consequence in their life. So Lord, I pray you'll give them courage. Lord, I pray that you'll give them protection. Lord, I pray you'll give them safety. Lord, in those situations where, Lord, you're allowing certain things to happen in their lives, Lord, that are really sad, really hard, Lord, I pray you'll give them strength to endure the persecutions that are coming. Lord, I just thank you for our church. Lord, I thank you for the different people at our church right now who are going through physical challenges. We prayed for Tom earlier, but there are many others. But I pray you'll touch them this morning with your physical comfort and also your emotional and spiritual comfort as well. Lord, we thank you for the initiatives of our church. Lord, we even pray for the men this afternoon as they have their time together over the football game and their burger bars and their all kinds of fun together. Lord, I pray you'll bless that time that people can encourage one another. Lord, I thank you for the upcoming things that you have in store for us at our church in these upcoming weeks and months. Lord, I pray you'll continue to guide us. Give us unity at the leadership level. Help us to follow your Holy Spirit's leading. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity we've had for this ministry. And we look forward to some of the things in the future. In your name, amen. Thanks, Brian. So we've seen and heard some things today about what God's doing in the lives of the kids who need families. Our church has been given opportunities to be used by instruments, is the term we often use. We've learned that more and more we pray for them, we make meals for them, we visit them, we play games with them. The question I want to ask us this morning, just to wrap up, is why do we do it? Why? Why do we do this? We're all orphans ourselves. At one point in time, we were orphans. And God was the one who brought us into his family. We may have grown up with a father and a mother. Physically, we may have not been an orphan, but we're all spiritual orphans. We were spiritual orphans until we were adopted by God. Because of what God has done for us, that is why. Ephesians 1:5 says he predestined us, what? To be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. So there's a biblical basis for this. This isn't some sort of social justice. This isn't some sort of community service. This is something that's a very spiritual thing that we do. Because we've been adopted spiritually, we have a desire to impact kids' lives or orphans who need foster care. God loved us so much that he adopted us into his family. And he didn't do it begrudgingly. For those of you who think that's a bigger word, he didn't have to do it. He wasn't coerced or forced to adopt us. He took great pleasure. And I think if you look at those pictures you saw earlier, a fellow showed you those pictures, how many of those families look sad to bring those kids in, huh? Now, did that mean the kids didn't do things sometimes that disappointed them? All of us who are parents, we get it, right? You know, but we couldn't see our lives without them. And God can't see us without part of being part of his family. The Bible really, as we grasp this beautiful reality, we encounter the truth of God's Father heart that not only pulses for the orphan, but for each of us. He pursued us when we were destitute and alone. He adopted us as his children. He invites us to call us daddy. And there's a famous verse many of you know. It says, because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. We get to call God daddy. And God gives us all this because we are now his children. He deliberately demonstrates this same generosity towards physical orphans, those without parents on our planet. All throughout Scripture, and we saw a few this morning, God tells us that he'll be a father to the fatherless. In the book of Proverbs, God tells us we're to speak out for those who have no voice. God cares about orphans in a very special way, and God wants us to do the same. We're to live out our faith by caring for orphans. That's one way we do it. Many people in our community wonder what really religion is all about. Have you ever encountered somebody who's like, oh, you're a really nice guy, you're really religious? So you want to try to explain to them what religion is? Here's one verse that it does. It says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world, it says in James 1:27. Once we become followers of Jesus, we walk in our faith by caring for widows and orphans and keep ourselves unstained from the world. James summarizes the Christian life about being public, private purity and public charity. Jesus gives basically the same summary in the Great Commandment that we all know so well. Once we realize how much God loves us, and what he went through to adopt us, there's two responses he's hoping for. The first is to see that your life matters. You're not here by accident. He cares deeply about you and brought you into his family. You have a purpose. The second is that he wants you to do something in your life and make a difference in the lives of others, to be sensitive to the needs of people around you. And this morning, particularly, we bring the attention to orphans. So how do we do this? Whether it's by adoption, foster care, mentoring, supporting the local church, there's so many ways that we're able to do it. So what I want us to think about this morning is what's happening in your heart right now. Year over year, we've been doing these for 11 years, and each Sunday there's something that goes on in somebody's heart. We used to bring tissues to Hope Treasure Sunday. I'm sorry if we didn't have some handy. But as the mom explained in this clip, most decisions about pursuing adoption or foster care are indeed complicated. As a father who's gone through this process four times myself, I can attest to that. However, in the end, this powerful scene where the mom explains to her adopted son that sometimes in a marriage, someone has to be the one to push to make the big moves. She described how with the adoption that her husband pushed a stranger on her, now that stranger became her child, and that that child became her life. She said, he became you. It's wonderful when God works in both a husband and wife the same way. At the same time, in the same manner, practically speaking, that's rare. That's what I'm here to explain to you, in case you didn't know that. This is not the time to be elbowing or poking someone sitting next to you. This is the time to be praying, because that's how God moves. He starts in someone's heart, and then that person has to be patient and pray and wait. And then he'll prompt in the other. Sometimes it never works out. And the other person has to be just be patient and resolve with that. And other times it works out in the spades, maybe more than you'd ever thought. We know today that God is and has been prompting many of you to get involved with the lives of kids. I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know when, but I know that you didn't come here today by accident. Doing so, as this lady described and as the mom described in the movie, is a big move. It can be very disruptive. It can be thought of as really not worth it, not worth the time, not worth the money, not worth the effort. I'm here to tell you today that that's false. It's always worth it. And it's guaranteed never to be easy. So as we look back to God and how he took us in, reminded again that the love he has for us and he saw us is worth it. And we're complete as we are complete and whole in his love. We then have the desire to pour out that love into others. Let's be faithful today to do that. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for the way that you have loved us deeply. Lord, I thank you that you overlook so many things in our lives that are not pleasing to you just because we're your children. But Lord, I thank you that you want us to live lives that are pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that we would do that today. Lord, I pray that we would want to love because we've been loved. Lord, I pray that we'd be willing to take risk and have faith because you're there with us. And just as Andrew had us sing earlier, you're faithful. Lord, I thank you for just all the things that we got to see today. And God, we just bring you the glory. You're the one who's done great things. You're the one who's moved in people's hearts. You're the one who's made difference in people's lives. You're the one who's orchestrated circumstances. You're the one who's given strength and wisdom and energy in order to serve and to really give from ourselves. Lord, I thank you for you and for your love. In your name, amen. Yes. So, what does this mean? How can you get involved? So the good news is we have no shortage of ways, okay? So the first way I want to mention to you is many of you may be thinking about foster care adoption. I will not cry when we meet, okay, I promise. But come and see Phyllis and I, okay? We're a good place to start. We can give you a lot of resources, things to read, things to think about. The second one is, as Faith and Joy shared earlier, we have a lot of things going on at Christ Home at this time. So you might be curious about those. As early as this Saturday, there's a need for people to go and clean at the home of where the babies and toddlers are. There's a need coming up to go and eat dinner with some teenagers there. Never know might want to happen. There's a need to talk maybe at your small group this week about maybe your small group wants to help out at one of the cottages on a regular basis. So do that. We mentioned the Valentine's Day coming up. There's a variety of ways. So go and see Faith there in the back. There's also meals. If you want to make a meal, actually, we already have the pans. We have a recipe. We have everything already set in the back. Please don't miss out on that. Okay, very simple ways to get involved. So don't, please, let's not leave without somebody taking one of those pans. As Brian said, maybe some of you have been prompted to get engaged in Transnistria and the kids there. Talk to him about that. Maybe there's a kid you want to sponsor who's in a foster family there. Maybe you want to go. Maybe this is the year you go. Maybe you're 29 or 30. Okay? As I want to close, I just want to thank God, as I mentioned, for the great things that he's doing here in our lives and just give us the opportunity to keep doing that. Your name. Back to you.